Okay, hope everybody had a wonderful Sunday, wonderful weekend in general. Just for pedagogical purposes, I wanted to go back to the Mishnah that we had talked about on Thursday, because I realized that my presentation wasn't satisfactory from my point of view, and I wanted to, again, just reintroduce the two issues that are at play in the Mishnah, and then to review the three cases, and to show you how that, you know, optimally you'd be able to satisfy both requirements. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you can only get one of the two, you might be okay. So again, when it comes to blowing the shofar, what you need is, as we spoke about, a cheftza of a shofar. The Torah says, v'ha'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh ha'shvi, even it says that about the Yovel, the 50th year, we apply that from Yovel to Rosh Hashanah. So you need a cheftza that's defined as a shofar. So that's why if you take two different pieces of a shofar and you meld them together, or 100 pieces of a shofar, that's not considered a shofar, that's considered a hybrid, that's not considered one single shofar. So that takes care of one very simple case in the Mishnah, dibek shivrei shofaro. So that's one thing that you need. But the second criterion that you need, and again, both of which are necessary and not sufficient on their own, is kol shofar. What's the bracha? Lishmoa kol shofar. Right? There's another girsa, bikol shofar. So kol shofar means the sound of this particular shofar. And we'll try to show, again, through the cases, how if the sound is adulterated somehow of the shofar, that could theoretically be a problem. So let's go through the other two cases, the first and third cases of the Mishnah. Again, we already talked about gluing two shofars together, so that's a problem in terms of the cheftza, the object of the shofar. What about the first case? So we talked about this. This is a shofar shenistak, a shofar that, again, had a crack that was running longitudinally. So a crack that's running longitudinally, Rashi says that's effectively the same as taking two pieces of a shofar and gluing it together. Heavy kishtei shofaros. It's no longer considered a singular cheftza of a shofar. Again, if the crack is not longitudinal, but it's latitudinal, so then you have to ask a different question. Does it have the shiur of a shofar? Again, the cheftza of a shofar is defined as something that I can hold in my hand, and I can see a ra'el lechan lechan. So give me a pocket-sized shofar, and that's fine. So clearly the first case in the Mishnah, once again, is relating to this question of, do I have the object of a shofar? Is it multiple shofaros? Is it not a full shofar? Etc. The third case is where it gets a little bit more subtle, and it seems like there are two different issues going on. And that's not shofar shenistak, that's not a situation of a cracked shofar, but shofar shenikev, a shofar that's been pierced. Now again, here the Rambam says a shofar which is pierced is fundamentally invalidated, and the only way that it can be made valid is if you satisfy three criterion. The Ravid disagrees right off the bat. The Ravid says it's not really true, because he says just because the shofar happens to be punctured, that doesn't necessarily invalidate it. It still has a chaloshem shofar, and as long as it can produce a kol shofar, the sound of a shofar, so we have a principle of kol hakolos ksheros, that even if the sound isn't what it originally may have been, so that's still going to be acceptable for the Ravid. By the way, you do find that recorded in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says it's not the optimal shofar to use, but it's still a viable shofar, and so that appears to be a disagreement. You continue to find something as a shofar once it's punctured. So what are the three criteria that we mentioned for the Rambam? So the first criterion is that the puncture does not cover the majority of the shofar. If it covers the majority of the shofar, then certainly even the Ravid is going to agree that if the majority of the shofar is a hole through it, so that's not going to be considered a cheftz of a shofar anymore. Let's assume for a second that the puncture only covers the minority shofar. What other criterion have to be met for it to be valid again? So the second criterion is eino me'akev esatzkia. That is to say that it's able to produce a kol shofar. So on the one hand, this is a shofar because rove has not been punctured. The question is, can it produce a kol shofar? So if it's me'akev esatzkia, and you could fill it in later on, but at that point, the shofar was no longer capable of producing a kol shofar, so the Rambam says, so that would be invalid. So again, even the puncture did not cover rov, the majority, but only covered a minority, but you can no longer use it to produce a sound, it might be defined as a cheftz of a shofar, but it can no longer produce a kol shofar, and that would be invalid according to Rambam. That was the third criterion the Rambam says has to be satisfied, because again, he comes from the point of view that once it's punctured, it's invalid. He says the only way to fix it is lesatmo bimino, to fill it in with something of its own min, of its own species. And again, the idea seems to be here, if you would put something in from a different species, so that would be no different than having two different shofaros, dibek shivrei shofaros. So the Shulchan Aruch says V'chatchila, the Rambam's ruling should be accepted, again, with the exception of the idea that if there's just a very small puncture, it doesn't seem to accept the Ravid and not the Rambam. But he says, if you have no other choice, and B'shas HaTzchak, so he says, you can accept having one without the other. So for example, he says, as long as the majority isn't punctured, and let's say you would not have been able to make a tkia beforehand, the kol shofar is it would have been compromised, and then you filled it in with something that was not of the min, So he says, b'dieved, if you had no other shofar, you could rely on that. Because at this point, once you filled it in, you can at least make a kol shofar. You can sound a tkia, even if it's theoretically considered two different shofaros. And in the opposite direction, he says, if the size of the puncture was never so great that it would have ever been ma'akev es hatzkia, so you never really dealt with losing the kol shofar, but at the same time, there was a puncture there, and then you filled it back in. So even though you may no longer relate to it as one singular shofar, he says, if you didn't have any other choice, so we would accept that as well. So again, what this boils down to, again, is that you want to satisfy optimally two halachic requirements. You want something to be defined as a shofar, one singular shofar, that is to say, it's only one min. But the Shulchan Aruch says, b'dieved, if you can't have the same kol shofar, because after it was filled in, it no longer makes the same sound. If there's no other shofar, you can use that. And at the same time, if you don't have the same shofar because you had to fill it in with something that's not of its min, not of the same exact species, even though it makes exactly the same sound, so despite the fact that the kol shofar has not been adulterated, the shofar itself may have been adulterated because now you're mixing in a different min, the Shulchan Aruch says, b'dieved, as long as you meet one of the two criterion, either shofar or kol shofar, you should be okay. So again, the lechatchila idea is to have one singular organic holistic shofar that produces one consistent kol shofar, yeah, for good purposes over there. But again, if you can't have the lechatchila, you can be satisfied with the b'dieved, at least according to the Shulchan.